Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com. Let's get over to Tracy now, listening in Oakland, California. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Patrick. I have some life or death questions.
Okay.
With the ashes to ashes and dust to dust, it kind of brought them up again today. And they have to do with, like, when we pray the daily rosary, and we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to figure out, with eternal life, we speak of death, and if we die, is it just our body that dies? And then what do we think of, like, with resurrection of the body, how do people mm-hmm. picture that?
Good questions.
And when it says, one more little tiny part, it mm-hmm. says, he will come to judge the living and the dead. And so I'm just, like, wondering, well, how will he judge the living, and when will he? I thought the judgment of the dead was, like, kind of at the moment you die.
Good questions, all good questions and interrelated. So why don't we begin by defining what death is? Biomedical death is when the body ceases to be animated by the life force. We know it as the soul, because as human beings, we are unique creatures in that we are composites of body and soul. So you're not a soul stuck in a body. You are a body and a soul together. Hylomorphic, this is the term that the philosophers use. So when, as Frank Sheed says, the body can no longer respond to the life-giving energies of the soul, whether because it's damaged or some other reason, and the body can no longer respond to the soul as the organizing principle of the body. The soul is the form of the body, which is an interesting way to think of it. The soul organizes the human body and makes us human in a body and soul composite. And so when the body can no longer respond, then the soul and the body separate, and that's where death occurs. So the body returns to the earth, and the soul lives on, because the soul, although so many of the aspects of our soul involve our bodies, the brain, our senses, and the ways in which we live and learn and experience things are all, or almost all, directly connected with our senses and our bodily organs. Not all of them are. So some things, the soul has certain operations that are independent of the body. And this is one way that we can know that the soul is made for eternity. Even though the body in this state will die, the soul will live on forever. So in the interim, what happens, Tracy, when the body and soul separate in death, that's when the particular judgment takes place. It's as it says, it's appointed to a man to die once, and then the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. And that judgment we call the particular judgment. That's where you have your exit interview. And that's where you are informed where you will spend eternity, in heaven or hell. Now, for those who love Jesus and are trusting in him and are ready to go, they already know the answer that they're going to get. St. Paul talks about that. He talks about how I've run the race, you know, I've fought the good fight, I've run the race, and I'm ready to receive my reward. So it's not as though we are completely in the dark. But in any case, at that particular judgment, that's where you are definitively informed whether you will be in heaven or hell for all eternity. Then for the interim, we now enter into what's called aveternity. It's not time as we know it, but it's also not pure eternity, timelessness as God knows it, because there's a point where you enter into eternity. And from that point forward until the general judgment, which takes place at the end of the world, all of us are disembodied spirits. So our souls are present in heaven, our bodies are not. And then on the day that Jesus returns to judge the nations, you can read about that in Matthew chapter 25, for example, it's then that we receive our bodies back and we become reunited once again as a whole human being, complete in every respect. And our bodies are glorified for those who will be in heaven forever. And there's the equivalent of that for those who go to hell, but it's not a glorious body. It's still their physical bodies, and it's the same body that you have right now, but it will be perfected. So whatever imperfections may exist in your body right now, they will be perfected for all those in heaven. And then we will experience eternity bodily and spiritually. And what that means exactly, I couldn't tell you. but I'm looking forward to finding out. So then it sounds like the last part of your question is when it says that he will return to judge the living and the dead, what does that mean? What it means is, and you can read about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it talks about how at the end, when Jesus returns, we who are still alive, St. Paul says, will be caught up in the air with the Lord. And this is where there's a translation, a change from mortality to immortality that takes place for those people who are still alive at the end of the world. And at the same time, the dead spoken of there, those are all the people who have ever died, who have ever lived and died. They will all rise from the dead at that time and be reunited with their bodies. And they too will be translated from time into eternity. The damned will experience the pains of hell forever, bodily and spiritually. The blessed will go to heaven and experience heaven for all eternity, bodily and spiritually. So that's what it means when he says he will judge the living and the dead. Those who have died will come back to life, or their bodies will rise again, and those who are alive will all be there together for that judgment. Does that help?
Wow. That is very complete, very thorough, very complex, and I'm probably going to have to listen to it several times in order to really grasp it. I mean, I get it, but then like to really grasp it is a whole other level. But there were two words I wanted to ask you about. Aveternity. Sure. And I think the beginning word you said was something, you didn't say biodynamic, right? You said bio something else.
Biomedical. Yeah, biomedical.
Biomedical.
Just to use that term in this, let's start there. Biomedical in that context refers to how do medical doctors and scientists define death? What is the point at which they can say this person has died? And so from a biomedical standpoint, it means when all brainwaves cease, the heart stops, and the body ceases now to function as a body. So the blood is no longer flowing, the operations of the body cease. And I'm sure a medical doctor could be even more precise than that. But I was just juxtaposing biomedical definition of the biomedical definition of death with the theological definition of death, and they coincide with each other because the theological definition of death is when the body ceases to respond to the life-giving energies of the soul. And it can no longer be animated by the soul, and then the soul and the body part. So from a theological, biblical standpoint, that's how we would define death. But it does coincide with biomedical death. And then aveternity is a term that the philosophers have developed long ago as a way to speak about what it will be like in eternity when you leave time as we know it now. So time as we know it now, sidereal time, which is a procession of moments. We think about the past because it's gone. We anticipate the future, although we haven't experienced it yet. And we're always in the moment of now, 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 now. We experience now, but only for the moment, and then it becomes the past. In eternity, God experiences everything now. From all eternity, everything is now for God. There is no future for God. There's no past for God. He doesn't wait for things to happen. He doesn't look down the road to see what's going to happen. He experiences everything all at once now. And we can't even imagine what that's like. But angels and saints and the human saints, we experience something like that, but not exactly that. And this is where the term aveternity comes in. It's kind of a...
How do you spell that?
It's spelled A-V-E. Well, put A-V in front of the word eternity, and that's what you've got.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. This is exciting.
You're welcome. Well, this is really good stuff, too. I'm glad that you're thinking about it. It's a great thing to ponder.
Well, I have a lot of time to ponder because I'm on a complete social media fast for Lent.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm sure that's going to be interesting. Lots of time to read good books then, right?
Probably.
Hey, Tracy, have you signed up for your Father Rocky's Lenten lesson downloads yet?
I'm signed up since last year.
Oh, well, these are brand new. Have
I
you
know,
started
but they
receiving
automatically
them?
Come for those,
okay.
By
well.
You, like all the people that were getting it last year, we automatically get it this year.
I love that. Well, so much the better.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tracy. and a happy Lent to you. 888-914-9149. You may be saying, well, how does he know all this stuff? Or where does this stuff come from? Or how do I know that's true? Well, it comes from many different sources. The Holy Bible, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, the Catechism. If you want a book that will tie a lot of this together for you, it's called Theology for Beginners by Frank Sheed, Sheed. He takes these really big and sometimes difficult concepts and he sheds a lot of light on them and he explains them in a way that's accessible for people like you and me. So if you want some good Lenten reading and you're thinking about diving deeper into these truths of our faith, get that book. It'll help you. Theology for Beginners. I'm going to take a quick time out and I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
For more of the Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/patrick.